Amen. Let the church say amen. What an awesome time and Sunday afternoon. Here in the presence of God, here with God's people, it's just a great time to be alive. Amen. And we certainly have had a great fellowship all day this morning, and a great fellowship around the table. And now, a great fellowship as we end the Lord's Day in the best way possible, which is worship together. Amen. I'll get it. All right. Okay. I'm good. Oh, where was I again? Yeah, we've had a great time in the Lord. We appreciate so much all of the singing, and Brother Mason did a great job this afternoon. And I know it was all geared up, set up for a great lesson, but let's just be straight. I've been preaching. It's been my privilege to preach for 20-something years. I've done meetings and all that stuff. And I remember when I first started preaching the Sunday afternoon program, I really thought everybody showed up to hear me preach. Turns out, now that I'm older, the secret is out. They really showed up for that chicken. And they showed up because they love the Lord, and they love God's people, but they ain't looking for no long explanation in Sunday afternoon. Amen. It just doesn't make any sense. Eat all that chicken, potato salad, macaroni and cheese, dessert, soda, and then sit up in the church and hear a guy go on and on about this and that. So we're going to share a word, and we're going to let y'all go. If y'all looking for preaching, come on back tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, we're going to preach. Today, we're just going to talk. Amen. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this kind of answers the question of what we're going to do throughout our time. I'm privileged and thankful for the invitation to share with you in this gospel meeting. I think we got off to a great start this morning by talking, hey, Brother Otis, it's good to see you. That's the first guy that brought me to Nashville long time ago. Amen. But yeah, we talked about the four criminals of Calvary. Amen. And for those that weren't there, if they pull you over and say, what were the third and fourth? Don't tell them. Don't tell them. Tell them they got to bring me to their church so I could preach the same thing. Amen. But my thinking is that Calvary is what, you know, what'll get us going. You know, I think in every culture, in every area of the church, We're all struggling with the same problems, the same frustrations. We're all caught up in the same distractions. And what would help us to get our minds right is not so much as looking at the problems and looking for solutions, but it's to look back to Calvary. I think refocusing on why we are Christians is what's going to help us to move in a way and to act in a way that really reflects what happened 6 hours one Friday. So I'm hoping all this week is to bring you back to Calvary, talk more and more about what happened on the cross, what happened around the cross, that's going to help us in our contemporary situations to reflect Christ in all that we do. And something that capitalizes that or characterizes that is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul, as he's going to determine to come to Corinth, he's writing them and explaining what he did. And he's saying to them that I was determined to come almost ignorant. I determined to know nothing among you except. Now, why? Because Paul knew that Corinth was kind of a metropolitan area. The people there were kind of sophisticated, and they kind of liked getting into deep discussions and philosophy. They liked being tantalized or entertained by great ideas and new things. And Paul says, when I was coming, I knew that about you, so I was determined not to get caught up in giving you what you like. I was determined to not be your entertainer. Y'all, I know this is Sunday afternoon. Just y'all say amen, and we'll make this quick. Amen. Oh, wow. That shocked me. But he says, I didn't want to get caught up. I did not want to become your entertainer, and I did not want you to think to get caught into the trap of making you feel excited. Paul says, I wanted to talk about three things: Jesus, Christ, and him crucified. Y'all missed it already. Jesus, isn't that what he said? I determined to know nothing. And it's impossible for Paul to know nothing, because he knows a whole lot. But he says, when I came there, I was going to be empty-headed. I'm not going to let you pull out all of this deep doctrine. I'm not going to let you pull out all of the revelations I have. When I'm coming to you, I was determined to give you three things. Jesus, that's the man. Christ, that's the Messiah. And him crucified is the mercy. Jesus, that's the man. That's his life. That's his life of perfection. That's his life of service. That's his life. Jesus' life was an example of what godliness is all about. And what do God's people need to know? They need to know how to live like Jesus. And he says, I'm determined not only to teach you Jesus, but I'm determined to teach you Christ. Somebody says that's the same thing, but at the same point, see, Jesus Christ, that's not his name. It's, amen, y'all. You know, David Wilson, Jesus Christ, that's not how that works. Christ is not his name, that's his position. And sometimes we need to remember that Jesus has a position. His position is not a brother in the church. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. That messianic position not only is about the church, but it connects with all of Scripture as to who he is. So Paul says, when I came there, I don't want to talk about esoterical doctrine. I don't want to get into the things that make you say, ooh and ah. I want you to know about the life of Jesus, and I want you to know about the position of Jesus, that he is the Messiah. And the third thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul says, I want you to know about Calvary. I want you to know that your sins have been paid for. I want you to know that the one who lived the perfect life, Jesus, the one who is connected to all of Scripture, the Messiah, is the same one that went to the cross and became sin for us. The same one that paid the penalty that we all incurred. The same one who gave his life so that we don't die. So now that we are alive, we ought to live for him. Amen. And this is what I believe, that's the simplicity of the gospel. That while we might get excited about other things, while we might get distracted by a number of things, the power of the Word of God is all through Scripture, but the greatest moment is when you talk about Jesus, when you talk about his position as Christ, and when you talk about the fact that he died for our sins. As a matter of fact, that's what you and I ought to be talking to people about. Somebody says, well, I don't know enough to talk to people about Christ. Do you know about Jesus? Do you know that he is the Messiah? Do you know that he died for your sin? That's enough for you and I to tell other people about who Jesus is. And once again, that the whole, all we're going to be doing this week is talking about what happened on Calvary and what happened around Calvary, because I'm a firm believer. If there's anything that'll stir up our hearts, it's what happened. It's what happened on Calvary. If anything would fire us up for ministry, anything would make us want to get involved in the things of God, it's not looking at the people. It's not being afraid of going to hell. What will drive us to do more and more is when we finally consider what Jesus did on Calvary. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. When did that happen? That didn't happen when Jesus walked on the water. We like that story. That didn't happen when Jesus sat down and taught the disciples on the mount. That didn't happen when he argued with the scribes and the Pharisees. He became sin on Calvary. He died for us on Calvary, and we were set free on Calvary. We celebrate the resurrection, but the resurrection is really meant to show you that the work of Calvary was accomplished. It's on Calvary that he paid the price. Amen. Seems like I know a blues song from around here. I shouldn't even bring this up, but one of the blues songs I know is that I paid the cost. All right, thank you, y'all, come on. And if anybody ever wonders, why should I keep on serving? Why should I keep on working hard? Why should I give of my earnings? Why should I attend? And why should I live right? It's because Jesus paid the price for you and I to give him all of our loyalty, all the things that he is due. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm hoping that you and I see, even out of this passage, how powerful it is to talk about Jesus, how powerful it is to know he is Lord, and how powerful it is to know that he died for our sins. Paul says that to Corinth, I didn't want to come with lofty words. I didn't want to come with my skill. I didn't want to come with all of this extra stuff, lest you be confused about where your power is, lest you be confused about how you are saved. I wanted to keep it clear that your salvation is not in Paul's ability to preach. Your salvation is not even in your ability to live right. Your salvation is based on who Jesus is, who he, the position he holds as Messiah, and what he did on Calvary. And even now, sometimes we're looking for something far out that we're missing right what's in front of our face. Amen. We're trying to understand deeper things. Folk trying to grab hold of Habakkuk and Revelation. You ought to stick right here in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again from the grave. That's enough. Calvary is enough. Amen? Say it. Calvary is enough. That's enough. Folks are saying, what else do I need to do? It's already been done on Calvary. Now you need to live a life that reflects Calvary. Now you need to have a heart that's turned toward Calvary. Now, because he has done enough, then you and I don't need to add to Calvary. You need to add to your faith, but you don't need to add to Calvary. You need to grow and develop, but you don't need to do anything with Calvary, because the work has been done. The price has been paid. We ought to be grateful. And out of that gratefulness, be willing to live a life that points towards Calvary. Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, time for you to turn to Calvary by faith and obedience to the gospel. You ought to be saved even today. That in knowing who Jesus is and what he did, that you will follow him. That's what repentance is about. Confess him as Lord and be baptized even today. That's what they did in the first century. That's what we do even now. And if you are a member of the body of Christ, but perhaps you've been distracted, perhaps you've let things get in the way, perhaps you've lost your zeal, let's remember what Jesus did. Amen. Let's not focus on people. Let's not focus on ministries. Let's not focus on preachers. Let's focus on Christ and what he did on Calvary. And that is enough to motivate us to do the best things in the world for our Lord and Savior. If you're here and you are subject to the Savior's invitation, then come now. Together we stand and sing.
Humble thyself in this hour.